In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Yesterday, Tuesday, in the Holy Vesca, we see the Lord spent the whole day in the temple, and He was teaching the people, and was trying to get the Pharisees to see and to repent and to accept Him. In their hardness of heart, when He left the temple, He said this, He said, "See, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall not see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Then he leaves the temple and he goes to Bethany. Today, actually Wednesday, there are no like events that happened, you know, that the Lord did. But he spent the day of Wednesday resting in the house of Bethany, in the house of Lazarus and Mary. Just as the Passover lamb was kept under observation until the day of its slaughter, the same the Lord spent this day in rest before the day of His capture and trial and crucifixion. There are two events though that happened today and the church focuses on, and they happen simultaneously, but they're in actually opposite directions. And those are the betrayal of Judas and the woman anointing the feet of the Lord. This anointing of the feet of the Lord happened a couple of times in Scripture, three times. Some scholars believe there are two women, and some believe there are three different women. Just to recap, this was when the woman, and all the stories are similar, with some minor differences. There's a story of the woman who came into Simon the Pharisee's house, and she wept at the Lord's feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And then there's what happened last Saturday, which was when the Lord was in Bethany in the house of Lazarus, that Mary, the sister of Lazarus, came and did the same thing, poured the costly fragrant oil on the feet of the Lord. And Judas said at the time that this, you know, is a waste. This could have been sold for 300 denarii and been given to the poor. And then we have the reading from today where the Lord was in the house of Simon the leper in Bethany, and a woman came, broke the alabaster flask of oil, and anointed his feet. I'll read one of the gospel from the ninth hour this morning, and it shows the two events happening simultaneously. It's from Matthew 26, from verse 6. He says, "When Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and poured it on his head, and as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. You have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her.' Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me that if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out the 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." So we have an image of the Lord reclining in the house, and this woman coming behind him and anointing is breaking this alabaster flask, a very costly ointment, so the fragrance was very strong, and she poured it on his head. And it came down off of his head onto his feet, and then she used her hair to wipe this ointment on his feet. And then immediately right after this, we find what it says about Jesus, that he went to the chief priest and he asked him, "What are you willing to give me for him?" So we see someone in this woman who is willing to give everything that she had, and then we see on the other side of someone who says, what are you willing to give me to sell you the Lord. So the same event, or the same moment, two opposite events are occurring. These two movements are occurring. One is towards the Lord, and one is away from the Lord. I'll speak this evening about these two points, about true love, or love and betrayal. I'll speak about betrayal first. And what do we learn from this about betrayal? When I mean betrayal, this is the turning away from God for some personal gain. So it's my turning away from God, whether it be in the form of coming to church, reading the Bible, prayer, you know, whatever it is, yani, just the turning away from God. This is the betrayal. Number one is that betrayal begins in the heart. Perhaps, you know, Judas, when he betrayed the Lord, this was a reflection of his own heart. You know, it says that he used to steal from the money box, so he was tempted with money. Perhaps in the pursuit of money, he betrayed many of his friends in the pursuit of money, right? So perhaps when he, you know, did this, this was a reflection of his own heart, that this is how he is, he betrays. If we consider the Lord Jesus and his relationship to Judas, did the Lord do anything to Judas that would warrant his betrayal? Not at all. The Lord was perfect. And actually, up until the last moment, he was offering Judas a chance to repent. When he told him, go what you do, do it speedily. To remind him that the Lord actually knows what he's going to do, and he should not do it. But he continued and did it, you know, anyways. So, the Lord didn't do anything that would warrant his betrayal, but he dealt with him with compassion. We may sometimes deal with one another in ways, you and I, or humanity, that might warrant betrayal. For example, we might deal with each other in an argumentative way. So because I'm angry with somebody, then I have the tendency, maybe I can betray them. Maybe if I deal with somebody with deceit, I'm not honest with them, and I take advantage of them, then perhaps they would want to betray me behind my back. If I'm competitive with someone, perhaps because out of this competitiveness, I would want to betray them so I get the upper hand. Maybe just a simple misunderstanding could lead me to betray. But Judas's betrayal, I think, reflected the wickedness of his heart. Number two is betrayal is often disguised. Betrayal is often disguised. It says that in the account in John chapter 12, he says, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And he said, not that he cared, St. John tells us, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and used to take what was put in. So St. John reveals to us the motive behind him saying this could have been sold for 300 denarii. So ultimately, he seemed like he was interested in the poor and the needy, and that's why he said what he said. But in actuality, he wanted to take the money for himself. So he disguised his betrayal with this, "I care for the poor." We find often that this betrayal is disguised. If you remember the story of Samson and Delilah, right? She wanted to know his strength so she could betray him and tell his enemies. And she did that 1, 2, and 3 times. Do you know what she said after the third time? Again, look at the cloak. She says to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and have not told me where your great strength lies." So look, she says that you don't love me, and then you're mocking me. Oh, who's mocking who? You know, she's actually mocking him, because every time she's going back, and she's telling his enemies. And then after this time, he succumbed to this, and he told her. So her betrayal was clothed in something that was good, is what we call love, or what they called love. So often, betrayal is hidden behind a good deed or a good belief. This is why when the soldiers came, and we'll see this, read this tomorrow, that the sign of who the Lord Jesus was for those, you know, soldiers was what? Was a kiss, a greeting, a kind greeting, right? Again, betrayal is often disguised. Number three, betrayal is a result of a heart that was left open to sin. So when sin dwells in the heart, and we allow it to dwell there, betrayal would be the result. The Gospels make it very clear that his betrayal was not out of weakness. We can compare this to St. Peter, when he denied the Lord in front of the servant girl. This was out of weakness, because he was scared. But he didn't really want to. But it's out of moment of weakness. And this happens to all of us and any of us, right? But Judas, however, this was not something out of weakness. This was a plan. This was because he left his heart open to evil. And when evil went in there, it grew. The first thing was he denied the covenant between him and the Lord when he was called to be a disciple. Number two is, he began to steal from the money box. Then number three, he delivered the Lord. Number four, he denied the faith. Then number five, he died in hopelessness. So we see, one sin leads to another. When we let sin dwell in our heart and continue to stay there without repentance, it ends up in betraying the Lord and denying the faith. This is why the Lord told a parable about an unclean spirit. He said, when somebody has an unclean spirit, and the spirit is driven out of him, right? And then when the spirit comes back and returns to the home, and it finds it swept and empty and put in order, what happens? He says, then he goes and takes the seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So what happens? If there's a demon that comes out, and I'm not filled with the Lord, when the demon comes back, and he finds it swept and in order, he brings in seven more, and it's worse than it first was. So, how do we, you know, occupy our hearts? Is by not keeping it empty. By repenting and filling it with the words of the Lord. Surrounding ourselves with the words of the Lord in prayer and scripture and spiritual activities. Number three, betrayal is the tree that comes from the seeds of doubt. That comes from the seeds of doubt. In the readings of the first hour of today, it speaks about the people of Israel, who after they had crossed the Red Sea, they were complaining to God, saying that they have nothing to drink. And in Exodus 17:7, it says that what? It says the people began to say, is the Lord among us or not? So they began to doubt. So quickly they began to doubt. Did he not just part the Red Sea? And as he parted the Red Sea and the people of Israel crossed, then he closed it on Pharaoh and all his army and they perished all in the sea. And they were walking on the other side of the river in the wilderness, unharmed and unscathed. And they quickly, because they got thirsty, they asked, is the Lord with us? What were you talking about? All of this wasn't the hand of the Lord? Have you ever seen anyone, or have you ever seen again, somebody parting the water like this? It's never been done before. But then they said, is the Lord with us or not? The seeds of doubt. When we leave room for sin, when we begin asking if the Lord is among us. Sometimes we go through some difficult times in our life. But we can't let the seeds of doubt, of questioning, is the Lord really with us or not? If we let these seeds of doubt remain and dwell, it will grow into betrayal. We need to repent of these things. Recall the good works that the Lord has done with you from time past. Right? We shouldn't be so quick to jump and say, is the Lord among us or not? Similarly, Judas witnessed the life of Christ. He himself participated in preaching and even in doing miracles in the name of the Lord. But then he forgot all of this because he let this doubt and this sin remain in his heart until he betrayed. What about the true love? So we saw the betrayal. Now about the true love. True love here in the events of today were expressed in gratitude. The house that the Lord was in at this moment wasn't the house of Lazarus and Mary where he was accustomed to staying. But it was in the house of Simon the leper. And you know, in the Old Testament, the leper was, you know, leprosy is a very contagious disease. They were not permitted to stay in the city. But they had these cities that they kept specifically for leprosy and disease so they can be kept away so they don't infect the rest of the community. So if he's in the city, what does this mean? That he was healed. Most likely, he was healed by the Lord. And as a sign of gratitude to the Lord, he told him, come and have supper, I'm going to invite you in my home. So as a sign of gratitude, he invited the Lord into his house. We often experience God's healing power and abundant grace in our life. But my question is, what is our response to his work in our life? Do we simply say thank you in a prayer and go on? Do we say, I'm going to make a generous donation as a way of saying thank you? What would the Lord really want? These things are fine, but what does the Lord really want? What would he prefer? I believe what Simon did is what he would prefer, is to make our home a place of rest for him. Making our home a home that the Lord Jesus would rest in. A home that is a place of speedy reconciliation, where there's not dissent and there's not anger and wrath within the family. There are open Bibles, and we speak about the Lord in the home. A home that has maybe an area of prayer that is actively being used by the members of the family. Making our homes a place where He is comfortable. I think He would prefer this over any offering or the simple thank you. Although these are fine, but I think what Simon the leper did is what the Lord would prefer. St. Paul said to the Corinthians, beautiful, in 2 Corinthians 12, he's ministering to the Corinthians and not taking anything from them as a church. And he says, "And I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours but you. I don't seek your offering or your supporting me as a minister to you, but I seek you, I seek your souls. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls." So saying what? I want nothing except the salvation of your souls, and I want nothing from you, but on the contrary, I'm willing to spend of my resources and of my labor and my sweat for your souls. I think this is what the Lord would want. Offering this gratitude, this in love. Number two is that true love is expressed in giving. In giving. This woman poured this costly fragrant oil, and as I said, it was worth 300 denarii, which is about the wages of 1 year for a family. So a family can live off this for one full year. So it's thousands, maybe now it's like thousands of dollars, right? And what is it? It's oil, or it's like a fragrant ointment, like perfume. How many of us would spend a year's salary on perfume? And if we spent this, when do you suppose we would use this as a young lady? The wedding, right? On your wedding. On your wedding. So this was the most costly thing that she had, that she was saving it for her wedding. And not only that, but you know, it says that they broke the flask. So this ointment, it says like it was in this flask, and the way you open it, it's like it's breaking like glass. Can you recap it? No. Once it's broken, you have to use all of it. So it's not like she said, okay, this is worth 300 denarii, I'll give him 100 denarii worth and I'll keep the rest for my wedding. She had to make the choice all or none. And she, without hesitation, made the choice of all. She broke the flask and poured it on his head. She offered him the type of love that does not see what I need, but rather what I can give. She wasn't looking about what she can receive from the Lord, but what is it that I can give to the Lord? What can we learn from this? Of those whom we say in our life that we love them, do I search to give or do I search to receive? If it's, we say, our parents, am I searching to take from my parents? Am I searching to give to them? If it's my friends, am I searching to take from my friends? Or am I searching of ways to give to them? To what extent am I willing to give? If we think about it, any offering, there's a limit. To what limit am I willing to go to give to another? True love is expressed in giving. Number three, true love is expressed in providing comfort. We know that the Lord, when He was in the house of Simon the leper, just before He was in the temple and He was rejected by them, and He left and, you know, in a not so nice way, and He wept over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the ones who stoned the prophets. He wished to that He could gather them as a chicken gathers her chicks under her wing, but they were unwilling. So He left heartbroken, right? And He was now in this place of rest, so He's heartbroken, and now He's also preparing for His passion, His crucifixion. So He was already, you know, in anguish. So she comes and she, maybe perhaps, you know, I don't know the hygiene, but I don't suppose maybe He was in the best of hygiene. So she used this ointment to soothe his smell and to give Him something of pleasure to comfort His heart during this difficult time. And you know, back in the day, they didn't have like socks and shoes like you and I did. So when she got down to wipe the feet of the Lord with her hair, His feet were disgusting, right? And God forgive me, but His feet weren't very clean because the ground was dirty. So it's like, you know, her hair was gonna be very, very dirty, right? And for the young ladies, you know how difficult it is. You know, if somebody puts gum in your hair, it's the end of the world. Something like this, this would be an event for the night to get it clean. But she didn't think about this. She didn't think about it. She bent down, all simplicity and humility, and washed his feet. And she would do the same thing the Lord would do tomorrow. Bend down and wash the disciples' feet. So we see her love and comforting the Lord and in her humility. Love provides comfort to others at their own expense. So can I provide comfort to others at the expense of my physical body? At the expense of perhaps my emotion? Suppose I come in and me and my wife, or me and my husband, whatever, we both had a rough day at work. I'm waiting for him to tell me how's my day, and I'm waiting for my wife to ask me how my day was. Am I willing to forego maybe my hard day to ask about somebody else? To give comfort to them. Also mental comfort and spiritual comfort. Did anyone ask this woman to do this? Nobody asked her to do it. She did it by herself. She identified a need and she addressed it. Maybe for us, we can try to observe the needs of others and fulfill the need without them even asking. The best place to begin this is at home. Look around the house. All of us live with people that need something. Look and see what it is that my family members might need. And without them asking, fulfill the need. Then once we can do this at home, we can do this to the rest of the world. Right? Look for the need and address the need as this woman did. Lastly, true love is expressed in receiving. What do I mean receiving? I don't mean asking for things. But what I mean is permitting others to freely express their sincere love. Sometimes kids are out of humility, مشايزين الناس إيه, to love us. Right? And we'll see this again tomorrow. The Lord wants to wash your feet, and St. Peter says, no way. You know, somebody maybe wants to give me something or offer me something as an appreciation. And I say, no way. And I can fight about it. I can fight with them because they want to thank me. And I'm insisting no. But here, if you think about it, had Mary asked the Lord, would you prefer I sell this and give the money to the poor or anoint your feet? What would he say? Sell it. It's not unreasonable. And actually, St. John Chrysostom says that this request is not unreasonable. And this would probably be what the Lord would prefer. But because she proceeded to break it and anoint his head, he didn't stop her, but she allowed him to express her love to him freely. And this is true love. To allow a person to express their love freely and accept it as such. Not with the guise of humility or, you know, or rejecting or saying, no, I don't want anybody to owe me anything, so I'm not going to accept anything from anyone. This is not humility and this is not love. The Lord Himself allowed her to express her love to Him freely. Not because He needed it, nor desired it, but out of His immense love and humility. So we see today the two pictures of betrayal and love. We see the love is expressed in gratitude, love is expressed in giving, love is expressed in comfort, and love is expressed in allowing people to show their love to us unhindered. God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.